Remind you and remind me how simple salvation was for us. First of all, this thief on the cross couldn't work. He could not work. He was not saved by his works. The only works that this man had done were the works of evil and that brought him to the cross. I mean, he was not hanging on the cross because he was a Mr. Solid T citizen. I mean, he wasn't your ideal citizen. The Romans had a very strict system of justice, and they made sure that before... Now, they messed up in Jesus' case. I mean, the trial that he went through was it was trumped-up charges, and they didn't follow any... They did not follow any of the Roman law when they hung him on the cross. But for the most part, the people that went to the cross were guilty of death, guilty of the suffering that was associated with death on the cross. And so this man, even though he's in heaven today, and we're going to talk about how he got there in a minute, but he's not there today because of any works that he did. Because the only works that he did were the works that took him to the cross in the first place, which were works of evil and works of cruelty. All over the world today, there's still people trying to get to heaven and get right with God and get saved from hell through their works. There's people all over the world today. I mean, there's people that'll pick a distant spot and then they'll get down on their hands and knees and they'll crawl to that spot miles and miles away, thinking they can earn their way to heaven by works. There's still people in the world today. In fact, I read a story this week about a missionary in Africa who personally witnessed a lady throwing a baby into a river. Now stop and think about it. A little newborn baby offering that baby to her God, thinking that she could get right and get saved by giving up her child, by working her way to heaven. There's still people all over the world today that make their pilgrimages to sacred spots. They still go to Mecca, and some people still go to Jerusalem. But it's not only in foreign nations that it goes on. Even here in Christian America, there's still people that think they can work their way to heaven. They think if they get baptized, if they do work of the church, that they can make things right between them and God, and they can work their way to heaven. But my dear friend, the Bible teaches us, and this thief did not work his way to heaven. He couldn't do any good works. He didn't do any good works. If he was depending on his works, he'd be in hell today. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, 8 and 9, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself." Not of works. Not of works. There's nothing that we can do that, as far as a work, as far as an action we could take, that would make us deserve heaven. Not a thing. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Titus chapter 3 and verse 5 says, "Not by works of righteousness, which we have done." Look, God says when he looks at our works, they remind him of filthy rags. I'm talking about our good works, not the evil stuff that nobody knows about, that we don't want anybody to know about, but the righteous things, the things that we do that are good. God says when he sees them, they remind me of dirty rags, rags that have been wrapped around a leprous sore, that have been full of the pus and blood that come from those sores, thrown in the dust. And caked with mud. And God says, when I see your good works, that's what it reminds me of. Now look, God wants our works. He wants us to work for him, but only after we get saved. Once we get saved, James 2:17 says, "Faith, if it hath not works, is dead." And Jesus said in John chapter 9 and verse 4, "I must work the works of him that sent me." And God wants, don't make no mistake, don't think I'm preaching against works. I'm for works, but not to get you to heaven. But after you get saved, God wants you to work. I mean, once you get on the team, he's got a job for us to do. And he wants our work, but not for salvation. His simple plan of salvation was not a plan of works. I mean, if it was, how would we know when we'd done enough? How many works would it take to get to heaven? It's simpler than that. I don't have to worry about how much work it takes, because you don't get to heaven. This thief could not work, and neither can we get to heaven by our works. Number two, he couldn't walk. He couldn't walk. Some people say today the way that you get right with God is you just begin to walk, the Christian walk. I mean, you come to church, you hang around other Christians, you begin to act like them, and pretty soon something will rub off on you and you'll become a Christian. That's as crazy as saying if you walk into a garage, you'll become a car. That's as crazy as saying if my watch quits working and I take it into a jeweler and I say, look, my watch is not working. I'd like to put it in the case with your watches that are working so that it'll look around and see all those other watches working. It'll start working too. I come back a couple weeks later. You know what? My watch still won't be working. It doesn't work that. You don't get saved by walking a certain walk and imitating people. It just doesn't work. And the thief couldn't do it. The thief could not get to heaven. He couldn't work. His hands were bound to the cross. And he couldn't walk. His feet were bound to the cross. A sinner today, somebody that needs to get right with God, doesn't need a walk. They need life. And who gives us that life? Jesus does. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Romans 6:4 says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of his Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Hey, this is just like the other point. Jesus wants us to walk like he did. He wants us to walk the Christian life. He wants us to imitate him. He wants us to be Christ-like. But not before we get saved. After we get saved, he wants us to do all that. He wants us to walk. But you don't get to heaven. You don't get right with God. You don't get saved from hell by walking the Christian walk. Thief couldn't do it. Neither can we. So he couldn't work. He couldn't walk. Number three, he couldn't worship. You know, if we stopped, and one day we're going to do this. We're going to study the Jewish religious system. Oh, man, what a system. I mean, they had a law, every imaginable thing you can think of, they had a law or an ordinance about it. And they had a complex system of worship. I mean, they had certain days you had to go into the synagogue. They had certain days that you had to offer up the animal sacrifice. They had a certain way that the high priest could go into the Holy of Holies and take the blood. And he had to be wearing certain clothes. And he had to put the blood on the altar a certain way. But my dear friend, the thief on the cross could not go and take part in that Jewish worship system. Hey, he was bound to the cross. He couldn't go into the synagogue. He couldn't buy him a lamb to offer as a sacrifice. He couldn't have the priest perform some ritual on him. He was bound to the cross. And neither can you get to heaven. Neither can you get right with God. Neither can you get saved from hell by worshiping. Now, it's good. It's good to come to Sunday school. And it's good to come together as a Christian family and worship God. I told you that word worship is directing our love toward Him. And it's good to publicly come together and publicly together just love on God. But that's not what makes you right with God. He wants our worship. He wants our love directed toward Him. But when? After we get born into the family of God. After we get saved. My dear friend, if you're not saved today, he doesn't want your worship. He wants you to believe him and accept what he did for you on Calvary. The thief could not worship. He could not walk. He could not work. Number four, he could not wait. Now, I tried to make this easy for you. Anybody notice I made all these things start with W? Huh? Did anybody notice that? Now, good. He could not work. He could not walk. He could not worship. Number four, he could not wait. Early in the day, we've talked about this guy before. Earlier in the day, as he was hanging on the cross, when he still had his machoism about him, both thieves together ridiculed Jesus. They did just like the crowd. They said, hey, you're the Son of God. You can get us. You have power to get us down off this cross. Come on, call your angels. Get us down. Save us. But as the day wore on, as the heat from the sun poured down on him, as pain began to sear his body, and he came to the realization that he was going to die and that he was going to have to spend eternity somewhere, he got to the point where he says, I can't wait. I can't wait. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And that thief realized that his life was ebbing away, that he was closer to death than he'd ever been. And he says, I can't wait. I've got to take care of it now. My dear friend, you know this morning you're closer to death than you've ever been in your whole life. You're closer. I mean, we're all like Beth. We might not have had a birthday this past week, but we're getting older. Older. Every day that passes. Some of us don't. We'd like to deny that fact. We'd like to hold the hand of the clock so it can't move. But every single one of us, our life has ebbed away a little bit more this week. And we're closer to death today than we were last Sunday. We're closer to death. Let me ask you this morning, are you ready for it? Are you ready to die? Are you ready to go out into eternity? The thief couldn't work, he couldn't walk, he couldn't worship, he couldn't wait. But I want you to notice what he could do. What he could do. Number one, he heard the Word of God. He heard the Word of God. He heard God the Word. That's talked about in John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, talking about Jesus. He heard God the Word say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He heard God the Word say to his mother, Woman, behold thy son. And to John, behold thy mother, as he was taking on the cross, as the Son of God was taking care of his mother. He heard God the Word say, I thirst. He heard God the Word say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He heard God the Word say, Father, into thy hand I commend my spirit. He heard God the Word say, it is finished. He heard Jesus say seven simple statements. And the Bible says in Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Look, my dear friend, when that thief was on the cross, he did not hear the Roman road. The Roman's road wasn't even penned. Paul hadn't even wrote it yet. He did not hear that verse that says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He did not hear that verse in Romans 3:10 that says, there is none righteous, no, not one. He did not hear that verse, Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He did not hear the verse in Romans chapter 10 that says, if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth, that God would save us for all eternity. But he heard the Word of God. And that Word convicted him. Number two, that Word convicted him. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit takes that Word of God and it drives us into us and into Him, and it convicted him of his sin. Earlier in the day, he joined in the ridicule of Jesus. Earlier in the day, he cast taunts in his face. Earlier in the day, he joined the crowd and made fun of Jesus. But now, after hearing the Word of God, after being convicted by the Holy Spirit, he was the only one that day that stood and said a good word for Jesus. Do you ever stop and think about that? I mean, here were all the disciples. They had spent 3.5 years. Jesus had taught them. He had preached to them. They had seen things that no other men, and had things explained to them that no other man had explained to them. Where were the disciples? Where was Peter? Where were the rest of them? The only one that we read about even being near the cross was John, but we don't read about John standing up for Jesus. The only one that stood and said a good word for Jesus that day was the thief on the cross who heard the Word of God and was convicted by the Holy Spirit. And he said, and one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. Why couldn't John say that? Why couldn't Peter say that? Why couldn't any of the other disciples say, look, he's done nothing that deserved death. He's committed no sin. Why couldn't they stand? Yeah, the crowd was jeering. Yes, they were throwing taunts in Jesus' face. But where were the disciples? Only the thief stood for Jesus. Where were the people that Jesus healed? Where were the people that he'd restored their health? Where were the lame people that he'd made walk, or the deaf people that he'd made hear, or the blind people that he made see? Where were they that day when somebody needed to stand for Jesus and point to him and say, he's done nothing amiss to deserve this death? Only the thief that day stood for Christ. He heard the word of God. He was convicted by the Holy Spirit. Number three, he believed. He put his faith in Christ. He says, Lord, remember me when thou comest in to thy kingdom. Now, I don't know about you, but I think this guy must have been a man of faith. He's not listed with the heroes of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. But I think he had great faith. You stop and think about it. He put his faith for eternity in a dying man. That he'd only heard say seven things. And yet he staked his whole eternity on that one that was dying next to him. He could look over. He could see the blood drip from the wounds of Jesus. He saw the blood drip out of his head where they'd put the crown of thorns. He saw the blood drip out of his hands and feet where they nailed him to the cross. He saw the blood drip from his back as they'd whipped him with that cat of nine tails. He saw the blood as it came out of his side as they'd pierced him with the spear. Look, he'd only heard the seven things that Jesus said on the cross. I mean, he wasn't there when the Sermon on the Mount was preached. He wasn't there when the Lord prayed the Lord's Prayer. He wasn't there to see the sick healed, and the blind given their sight, and the deaf their hearing, and the lame the use of their limbs. He didn't see Jesus raise the dead. He didn't see him feed 5,000. He didn't see him calm a storm or turn water into wine. He didn't know that Jesus was virgin born. He didn't know that he fulfilled every prophecy that the Old Testament had put forth about him. He didn't know that for 33 years Jesus had lived a perfect life, and in dying on the cross he fulfilled every requirement of the Passover lamb. He didn't know all that. All he watched is how Jesus died. All he'd heard was the seven things that he said while he was on the cross. And he watched as Jesus bled to death. But he put all his hope for eternity in Christ. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He couldn't work. He couldn't walk. He couldn't worship. He couldn't wait. But he did hear the word of God. He was convicted by the Holy Spirit. And he did what Jesus tells every single one of us. And if you've been saved this morning, you did the same thing. He believed. He believed. And then number four, he was received. Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Can't you just picture it? Here's the angels up in heaven. They're looking. And a shout goes up. He's coming! There comes Jesus! The one that left heaven 33 years ago. He's coming back. The Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. And I think there's a shout that goes through heaven, and as the angels can rejoice, they start praising God, and they're looking as Jesus comes to heaven, and they say, wait a minute, he's got somebody with him. And they say, boy, this person he's bringing with him must be a great saint. I mean, he must have done something good for God. He must have lived for God, must have given his life for God, for Jesus himself to be bringing him back. And they said, roll out the red carpet. Not only is Jesus coming, but one of the great saints of all time must be coming with him, because Jesus is bringing him personally, bringing him himself. Who was it? The thief. The thief. Didn't live for God but a few seconds. Never walked the Christian walk. Never worked the Christian work. He was never persecuted for his belief. Never tithed. Never got to go to the synagogue. never got baptized, never got to join the church, never taught Sunday school, never was a trustee or a deacon. But he went to heaven. Because he heard the word of God, he was convicted, and he believed it. Believed it. That's what the Bible means when it says, "Whosoever believeth on me shall not perish, but have everlasting life." My dear friend, I don't know about you, when I look back and I think about what Jesus did for me, I'm glad I didn't have to work or walk or worship. I wouldn't know when to stop. I'm glad he made it so simple that even a dummy like me could understand it. And know the only thing look, we get saved the same way. We hear the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And we hear verses like, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death." And the Holy Spirit begins to work. Did you know if the Holy Spirit didn't call you, you would never have come? You were dead. But the Holy Spirit comes and he takes the word of God and he begins to convict us. He begins to woo us and draw him to Jesus. And then we do that one thing. The only thing that we have to do to get saved, believe. Just believe. And then we, like the thief, are received into the family of God. Let me close with this statement about the thief. He was damned that no sinner may presume. He was headed for hell that day as he died on the cross because he was a sinner. And not one sinner should ever presume that God's going to save them any other way, because there is no other way. But he was saved that no sinner may despair. I don't know where you are this morning, but I know this. If you're not saved, you need to do the same thing this morning that thief did. Hear the word of God that you're a sinner, and the wages of sin is death. Hear the word of God as it says that Jesus died on the cross for us. Hear the word of God as it says, "For whosoever shall believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life." For those of you that are already saved, and praise God, that's most of us, let's just rejoice a little bit. Let's just praise God that he loved us enough to make it so simple that even folks like John and I could do it and rejoice in it. Father, thank you for today.